Where are you? There you are. Hey, man.
You're back to the sexy pink lights.
I don't know. I don't like any option. So I miss my dark room with my cool pink light over my shoulder that absorbed the light and didn't bounce it off the wall and make me look like a Pepto-Bismol bottle.
I know. But then you left that time zone for a different one.
I did. So there are a lot of good things about that.
Sure.
That I'm paying for.
Right. Not lighting-wise, though.
Yeah. It's like a video game where you always have to give up something of great import if you want to advance to the next level. You got to sacrifice something.
Yep. I don't play games like that because they make me, they remind me too much of my life.
And all the things you gave up along the way.
So I got some bad news for you.
Oh no.
So turns out I was actually in the Signal chat where you were discussing the show idea today.
Gotcha. How far in advance did you know about the bombs in the Middle East? Best and brightest. Best and or brightest.
Who would have thought that hiring a talking head off of propaganda TV was going to turn into a shit show in, let me look, six Scaramucci's. I think it was six Scaramucci's. I think that's where it right now.
Boy, that's
five,
that
maybe
from,
six.
Now, is that from nomination or is that from confirmation? That's like three Scaramucci's. <That's>, I don't know. There's no way to see it coming. And I'm gobsmacked.
Yeah.
Gobsmacked is the only word for it. Oh my God.
The only good news is, the only good part that comes out of this one is actually not just exceedingly stupid like the rest of them, but this one's actually like panned completely across the board by every single person. So
yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think that'll probably change something.
Yeah. Yeah. I think things are probably going to get fixed.
Well, you want to start the show?
Absolutely.
Fuck me. Everybody, welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week after about 10 minutes of real solid banter, I introduce a show where I tell a real ghost story from real history, my real friend, Patrick Dean, who doesn't take it real seriously.
Nope.
But he was really considering a 32-hour train ride instead of a 3-hour flight
Amy,
to get rid of his family for a little while.
When I mentioned it to Amy and I said I was a little hesitant about it, she called me a pussy, so I think I have to do it now.
Gotta call that bluff.
So
32 hours on a train to Dallas. We're going on our baseball trip soon, a couple months.
But, you know, 32 total, 32 round trips, 16 back.
Yeah.
Yep. Comes out to about $10 an hour on the train. It's really not
that bad.
Good.
It's pretty good. When's the last time you had 16 hours to yourself?
Of just like the sound of the wheels going over the track and the smell of the conductor smoking next to the train. Yeah. I don't know. It's been a while, I think.
Maybe never. Oh man, I think I do think that's the way you should do it. If there was a train
I'm thinking
from
about
here to there,
you would be on it. I know.
I didn't check. Let me check.
That's quite a ways for you.
It's going to be 3 weeks for me, but I'm into it. I am taking the Amtrak to New York in 6 weeks to go see Dave.
I bet
that's
a train
gonna be like 6.5 hours.
I bet a train for you is going to take you through St. Louis. I bet that's what's going to happen.
It's going to go all the way around the mountains out of Appalachia. Yeah, probably. Let's see. Where's the closest station? I don't know. Let's try Washington, D.C. to Dallas. Oh, no trips. You know what? I'm starting to think the train might not go from Virginia to Dallas.
It's an impossibility to travel between two cities by rail. Are there like independent warring railways or something like that?
There must be junctions at which you can get off one train and get on another train, but Amtrak's like, that's a lot of work.
I'm so sorry, but in the Northeast, we actually use metric rail spacing, and the trains just really can't handle moving to Texas's.
No, we wouldn't even know how to charge you. Some of these use dollars. Some of them use pounds. I don't know. No idea.
Some of them you just have to get and push once an hour. And that's just everyone's famous. Hello, cat. Hello.
Hello. Oh, boy. So, you should take the train. That would be good.
I think I will.
It'd be good.
Maybe see if Cody. Maybe see if Cody wants to sleep. Wants to split the roomette with me. It says very clearly sleeps one at a time, and I don't really know.
At a time.
I'm not sure if that's like if it's bunking or how that works exactly.
One of you has to sleep. The other one must watch.
Okay. There's enough room for one standing, one sleeping at any given time. Yeah. This is fair.
it's the special kink rate. Cody's pretty small. You could probably put him in a suitcase.
Oh yeah, no, him in there. Yeah, he's sleeping up in the luggage compartment. He'll be fine.
Yeah, now is his pap smear. That's not right.
His CPAP. Yes,
fit up there.
Yeah, his pap smear machine is not going to make it on this trip. I'm afraid. Way too much distilled water needed for that one. Like way too much.
Oh boy. Well, shoot. Do you want to hear a ghost story?
Sure. Oh, fuck. I just took a drink, too. Anyway.
Oh, boy. Well,
please don't fix that.
Here we are at the third story of our National Park suite. I don't know how many stories we're going to do for this suite.
From the intro audio, sounds like this is going to be it.
We're not going to have a show next week or ever again, because we, like you, will be in ashes. Oh boy. Where are we here? Let's see. Okay, so story number three of this week. I will preface this. We don't always do a lot of content warnings on this show because it's kind of like this is a show about ghosts.
Yeah, and surprises.
Yeah. Gotcha. Murder. I thought maybe this might be worthwhile. There's some domestic abuse in this story. Okay. So if that's something that's you are sensitive to, you don't have to listen to this one.
No, just go in, just click the five stars and the thumbs up, and then just...
And that's actually the only way you can skip it now that you're in it. It's sort of like a kind of a weird, like, ring reverse situation. Like, you don't have to listen, but you do have to give us five stars and rate and review and $5.
Exactly. And if you do listen to the whole episode, then you're kind of a sicko. So I don't really know what you're still doing here. We gave you the warning.
Oh. All right. Let's see. It is the summer of 1940.
Ooh. Charleston is playing on every radio in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
Commies are everywhere. Mm-hmm. Those pinkos. A couple of laid-back dudes are paddling around in Lake Crescent in Olympic National Park in Washington State.
Just the two of them.
Just two of them.
All right.
Just the two of them. Being cool friends in the boat, just the two of them. It's not weird, I think is the song. If you're wondering, let's see, if you've never seen this lake, you are probably wondering, why is it called Crescent Lake? I have an answer for you.
It looks like a crescent roll, actually. Looks like. Oh, never mind. It kind of looks like a crescent roll. Okay.
It looks a little bit like a crescent roll. I can see it looks like an unfolding crescent roll. I'd call this Falcor Lake. This is a Falcor for sure.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I see it now. Yes, that's definitely Falcor Lake. Okay.
Yeah.
There's it's the located. Eel. The ears pinned back up at the top. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fast Falcor.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to zoomies. It's way at the top here. You can see all the way Washington State. So it's that's where we are. If we go way out, see?
Mm-hmm. That is the globe. Yep.
And if you're on signal today, maybe you saw we are bombing this part of the country over here. So that's Crescent Lake. Looks crescentish. Now let's see. Anyway, summer 1940. These two chill dudes having a cool time in a boat. Nothing weird about it. And they suddenly see a bundle in the water.
Uh oh.
So they do what you should not do, and they paddle over to it.
Oh no! Paddle away.
Paddle away. Always paddle away.
No. You know what the paperwork is like if you find a bundle in the water.
They're this close to retirement, man. They're this close to retirement. So they paddle over, though, and they lift the bundle into the boat.
Oh, ew.
Well, Well, maybe it's like a cool treasure.
That's strike two. I mean, this. Okay. I guess this is how all of those, you know, genie in a lamp stories start as well.
That's so, right.
And they are 1940. They're clearly too stupid to know the difference.
This is some Scheherazade shit for sure. Yeah. And they know. They know. And so they pull it into the boat. And this is a wet, obviously, bundle of big wet blankets that are wrapped around something.
Maybe a lamp.
Could be a gigantic lamp. Could be an approximately human-sized lamp.
It smells a little bit like a dog. So you rub it
they
first.
Peel back.
Not me. You rub it first.
I hoped you would ask me to rub it first.
You can have the wishes. I just don't want to touch it.
So they peel back the blankets, and inside they find the body of a woman who had been hog-tied and strangled to death.
Oh.
Now, here's what I think. Now, it's always going to be pretty surprising to find a dead body bundle floating in a lake. But this particular lake, it's not exactly a stranger to strange happenings.
Okay.
Come back with me, will you? So many moons ago. Lake Crescent is surrounded by mountains, and one of those mountains is called Mount Storm King.
It's my favorite Warcraft expansion.
Warcraft Northwest, Pacific Northwest. And let's see, that's the wrong button. I'm going to show you. It has a pretty flat top to it, which you can see in this photograph here. Mm-hmm. All right, so there's this mountain.
It's flat on the top.
It's flat
Warcraft,
on top.
Mountain. I'm back. I'm back.
Yeah.
I'm back.
Yeah. You're plugged in. And this is our guy. It's pretty flat. See that? Looks like it should be peaked.
Right, yes, but the top of it is
flat.
Missing. Missing.
Yeah, it's gone. It's gone. According to Native American legend, a long time ago, there were two tribes that I'm definitely going to pronounce real well. Mm-hmm. The Klallam and the Quayute.
Okay. I think you did the first one worse. Second one,
I would agree. Yeah, at least I gave it a fun little twist on the second one. That's what you got to do sometimes. These two tribes fought an incredibly bloody battle in the shadow of this mountain.
Oh.
The fighting is so horrifying that the mountain itself grew very angry, broke off a chunk of rock from its peak, and threw it at the warriors. And as a parent, I really empathize with this. I will rip off my own arm if it means you will just stop.
If you don't stop, I will hit you with a 25,000-ton couch pillow. I swear to God.
So it may not surprise you to learn that this kills every single one of
right,
them.
Sure, yes. Finally, some peace and quiet until the sirens come.
It also dams the river and then creates what is now Lake Crescent.
Oh. Oh, okay.
So this is how the lake was formed.
Big loss then. I'm sure there's now like boating and stuff obviously there, so that's not
Not
a total loss.
There's at least two dudes in a canoe in the 40s for sure. They liked it to a point. So the water floods the valley. It rises up over the dead bodies of all those Native American warriors, and those bodies are still down there today. Now, I don't know how much of that story is true.
Yeah.
But there are bones down there, like human bones.
Okay.
So probably not killed by a mountain that hurled its own top at them, I would guess. But there are bones down there. So it's a creepy lake. Generations of Indian tribes refused to go near said lake because of the story. And it became widely known that Lake Crescent never gave up its dead.
Ooh, wow.
So it's and always
then,
been a...
And then these two guys in the 1940s, they're like, man, this lake is really quiet. It's pastoral.
The fishing here is great. This lake is stocked.
Every few hours, I pull up a boot with something in it, but that doesn't seem like a deal breaker, you know?
It's cool cartoon fishing. I like it. If Bugs Bunny's taught me anything, we're doing it pretty well. So it's a haunted place. And Holly Illingworth knew that when she went to work at Lake Crescent Tavern in 1934.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Holly,
wouldn't it be a great place to put go drink at a tavern? Like an enormous haunted lake and tavern?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd go out of my way to visit that place. That would be
I got good news for you.
That'd be a regular place. Oh, really?
You still can go out of your way to visit that place. So let's go. Now, the train ride here is going to be a little bit longer.
I'm not thinking we're splitting that roomette for the, you know, 117 hours to get out to Seattle, but...
I can watch you sleep for a long time. I cannot watch you sleep that long. Even I cannot. Hallie had been born in Greenville, Kentucky on January 8th, 1901. Her father was a farmer, and her mother was married to a farmer. She spent her early years working said farm, and as soon as she became old enough to strike out on her own, she did. Which makes sense, because I've been to Kentucky.
And I also wanted to go to the opposite corner of the country after visiting.
No offense to Ben and Mariah, Fox and Quill Studio. Hey, go check out Fox and Quill Studio. New merch coming all the time from them. But they have made a bad choice about where to live. They have to live with that. Anyway, so as soon as Hallie could, she moves out west in search of a better life. As I don't know, it's hard to know if she felt like she found said better life. Along the way, she ends up in two failed marriages.
The same time?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she did go through Salt Lake City. So I don't know the details of these marriages. But what I will say is, she's a double divorcee in the 1930s, which is a time when I understand it was way hard to get a divorce.
You're after the first one, you're like shunned. The second one, you're a witch. I believe. I think we've gone over this.
Yeah, that sounds right. So my hunch is she met a couple of real bad guys and was strong enough to become a witch, and rise above that. So she's powerful now and knows all the spells, and let's see how it works out for her. She winds up near Crescent Lake at the age of 36. And geographically speaking, this is like the literal furthest you can get from Greenville, Kentucky without leaving the country. So she's doing a good job. She gets a job at the Lake Crescent Tavern, as I said, and I got a picture of what that looked like at this point in time.
Oh man, God, I would show up there at 9 a.m. and they could drag me back out at 9 a.m. That place looks awesome to have a drink.
It looks so good. And a pretty strong Camp Crystal Lake vibes.
Absolutely. Yes. 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 Someone is murdered there like on the first of the month. I swear it has to be.
Well, it says tribute to the lake and the things that it's not giving up. It's a great spot. It's like the bar that you and I went to outside of Boston when we went on our road trip that way. Went to Foxborough.
Yeah,
right. You picked that up and dropped it into the Pacific Northwest. So it's a restaurant and bar. It's got some lodging upstairs. And today, again, I'll note the tavern still operates. It's Lake Crescent Lodge. It has been expanded, so it's even cooler. But anyway, so Hallie gets a job at the tavern in the shadow of Mount Storm King here on the lake that does not give up its dead. And that's, everything's going great.
No indications that it won't continue going great.
Now, this is a tavern, of course. So there are, among other things, there are beer deliveries made to this address. And so one day early on in her career at the tavern, Hallie meets a beer truck driver named Montgomery J. Illingworth. It's way too fancy a name for a beer truck driver.
I wouldn't be able to control myself around someone named Montgomery J. Illingworth either.
No.
Really.
Just
it's
one.
Yeah.
One.
Take
one
what you will.
Rip. Take it all. No, it sounds like a miserly millionaire in a Jimmy Stewart movie. He goes by Monty. He's a working man of the people. And he and Hallie meet. They start flirting. And, I mean, Hallie is pretty good at recognizing lifelong partners, as we know. So just after 6 months, she agrees to marry Monty. And they wed in June of 1936. Oh, I have a picture of Hallie, by the way. Would you like to see her?
I would love to. I'd love to see who we're talking about here. Oh, okay. Hi.
Yeah, pretty good. You get it.
Yeah.
You'd marry that three times. So that's Hallie. Not long after they're married, Holly starts coming to work with bruises and black eyes.
Oh.
Monty is not a good guy. One day, Holly confides in a coworker that Monty had choked her almost to the point of unconsciousness and that he had broken one of her teeth.
Ugh.
Just a reminder, you could have skipped all this if you had just paid us $5. But now you're stuck. Now you're stuck here with us in this vortex. And then one early morning, about 5 months after their wedding, the police are called to break up a fight between Holly and Monty in the lawn outside the tavern. And it's pretty bad. She doesn't do well in that fight, physically speaking. But Monty's not arrested.
Oh.
The cops know Monty.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, I don't know, probably had a beer. So we're going to let him go. You want to make any jokes?
No, I'm good. I'm totally fine.
You started off this whole thing tonight telling me that I just had to put it on the tee and you'd knock it, you'd dribble it to third at least.
Yep, yep. And you took domestic abuse and set it right there on the tee. And I thought,
it sure did. No? No swings? Put the word swing out. Okay, that's fine.
All right.
So then on December 22nd, 1937, a year and a half or so after she's married, Holly doesn't show up for work. Now, they can't get in touch with her. But it is 1937 in the middle of fucking nowhere. So it's not necessarily a concern.
Right, yeah.
But a few days pass, and Holly has just vanished. No one has seen her. So the owners of the tavern, they finally get a hold of Monty. Now, Monty is a total wreck.
Okay.
He's very sad.
Mm-hmm. Probably very drunk still. Yes, okay.
I assume so. He's peeling off the ticker tape from his shoulder, so I don't see it. He says Holly has run off with a sailor from Alaska.
Oh, well.
Which, I guess that is pretty plausible, yeah. Actually. I'd run off with a sailor from Alaska. Every single person in the world is like, okay bud. Mm-hmm. So Holly's never seen again. Monty, who's again, he's a grieving widower.
Mm-hmm.
He is granted a divorce in 1938.
Okay.
So everyone's like, I guess she's not coming back.
Mm-hmm. I guess you can have her stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So as soon as he gets a divorce, Monty moves to California with Hallie's sister's roommate.
Oh. Okay.
No additional details about this.
This. All right. Is this the last we hear of Monty or does Monty show back up at some point?
Nope. That's it.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's Monty.
This ghost story is not... Maybe I should have skipped to the end of this one as well.
Oh, like you've got $5. Yeah. Come on. So he's gone. He lives now with Holly's sister's roommate. And Holly is just gone. She does not return. But a few years later, these cool boat buddies find this bundled up body floating in the lake.
A lot of alliteration.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you for noticing. When they find this hogtied body, it's pretty clear that the woman had been strangled, like I said. The blankets, the rope, they all showed signs of wear, of course. It's been in the water for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a side note. I want to be clear when I say this. I do not, this is across the board, I do not think anyone should murder anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be very clear about that.
Mm-hmm.
However, what I will say is if you do decide to murder someone... I think there are a lot better places to dispose of the body than 20 feet from where they and you work. Because they do a dental records test eventually, and they find out this is indeed Holly.
Mm.
And they're pretty sure they know who did it. So the body itself is in great shape.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet a little bit of CPR and she's right back at work.
Okay. Well, it's not quite that great a shape, but you know, this lake is in Northern Washington State. It's very cold and the lake is actually quite deep. It can get deeper than 1,000 feet.
Oh, wow.
So it's a deep lake.
Yeah. So she's been on a ride.
She went all the way down and all the way up and it's really cold down there. So she is really well preserved.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're going to Weekend at Bernie's with her, but right. she is in good shape.
Somebody needs to tell Joe Rogan about this lake, because I think he may want to spend a few years down there as well, preserving himself. Just a thought. Take Mark Wahlberg with him too.
Wow.
They love the cold dips. They should go. Yeah. They should go cold dip. Yes, 1,000 feet straight down. I think they'll be reinvigorated.
Now her body's also soapified.
Oh, I'm not familiar.
You should be. We've talked about it before.
Okay, maybe I am familiar then.
Soapification, also called saponification.
Oh yes, when you turn into a suppository. I think I made that joke.
Well, I mean, listen, anyone can turn into a suppository if you really want them to. This is from episode number 116. We talked about this with Old Whitey in the SS Kamloops.
Boy, that's going back a ways.
Nothing, huh? Nothing.
No, just
nothing. Not a one.
Smooth. Very smooth up here. No wrinkles.
That's only, 39 episodes ago?
Uh-huh. Yep.
It's not even a year ago.
No, I'm not arguing that it's not ridiculous, but.
It's one where I showed you the video. There's a boat wreck in the Great Lakes. I showed you the video, and there's a dead body floating down there. And he follows you around the boat.
Oh, the guy. Yeah. He's all white. Yeah. Yeah. One of the few ghosts that was still in the body of his corporeal self.
Yes. Correct.
Okay. Yes. I recall that one.
So that's Hallie.
Okay.
She's soapified. This is when with some dead bodies, the fat transforms into a waxy soap-like substance. Mm-hmm. Now, when the fat becomes soapy, it also becomes more buoyant.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yep.
And so this is how eventually the body that had been weighed down with ropes, right, mm-hmm. 1,000 feet under the water, after a few years, the ropes had worn away and snapped. Mm-hmm. And now the body is super buoyant.
Oh.
And up she floats to the top of Lake Crescent. Here's a quote she's not in mint condition, to your point. Quote, she was perfectly preserved other than missing facial features, fingers, and toes.
Okay, that could be fishies.
It could be fishies.
Yeah.
Feels absolutely fishy-like.
Yeah.
Maybe. The real strange thing about this body is that it's not bloated.
Oh,
it should be pretty bloated having been in the water for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So Holly's body is taken to a coroner, and the coroner is like, this isn't quite right. Something's weird. Like, it's actually too well preserved and it's not bloated.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like this, is what the coroner says.
Yeah. And you know, if a coroner says, I don't like this, it's pretty gross.
That's correct, Patrick. That is correct.
I've seen 6 feet under. Those guys eat like sandwiches while they do this stuff. So they've...
I'll drop the mayonnaise onto the heart. Well, scoop it up. It's still good. And meanwhile, the police are on the case. They use, like I said, dental records to identify the body. Now, it's difficult to name a suspect with any actual, given evidence.
Sure.
Even though everyone's like, okay, well, Monty did this. You should go. Mm-hmm. You should go arrest him.
Mm-hmm.
But you do need evidence. This was before 2024, so you need evidence if you're going to arrest someone and, I don't know, deport them or something. So it turns out the police find that evidence in the ropes that were used to hogtie Hallie and fasten her to the weights that held her at the bottom of the lake.
Hmm.
Apparently, and here's some real CSI 1940s shit, the rope in question was a very specific kind of rope. It was only sold at Sears and Roebuck.
Oh, okay.
So the police go to the nearest Sears,
mm-hmm.
which I have to imagine is 1,000 miles away. It's in Nebraska. And they go through all the receipts, and they find that the owner of the Lake Crescent Tavern purchased quite a bit of that rope in bulk a few years earlier.
Oh.
Now, they go talk to him,
mm-hmm.
and they say, what's this all about? He says he bought the rope to tie up boats at the dock.
Alibi. Perfect alibi. Yep.
Perfect. Perfect. Just flawless. So they question the owner more. He remembers then, suddenly, that he lent 100 feet of that rope to Monty Illingsworth so that Monty could pull his truck out of the mud one day, and Monty never returned the rope.
That's pretty convenient as well.
Yes.
But it's all Are you sure Monty didn't borrow some of the rope, say 80 to 100 feet of said rope?
Maybe. Approximately 3 years, and I don't know, 4 days ago? Yes. Well, we're done here.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, police are satisfied. Oh, I lied. Monty does come back. Monty is extradited from California, and he's back in a big way, and he stands trial for Holly's murder. Now, he tries an interesting defense. His defense is, that's not Hallie.
Oh.
I've seen her. She's totally fine. I saw her last week, and she's fine.
I remember Hallie. She was very bloated.
This is not bloated at all. No.
Woman, this is like olive oil. Who is this? I don't know who this is.
Is she single, though? Because I am interested. So he's like, Hallie's still alive. This is crazy. But then the next witness is Hallie's dentist, who had several records that prove otherwise. So Monty is found guilty, and he goes to jail. He goes to jail for 9 whole years, at which point he is paroled.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Seems a little light for throwing somebody at the bottom of a 1,000-foot lake after beating him to death, but, you know.
Yeah, this is like the guy who brought us beer for so long. You know? He's like one of the boys.
And I kind of need that rope back.
And I've been really thirsty for the last 9 years. So he gets out eventually. Now, as for Hallie, of course, she is dead, but she never died quite right. The bloating thing was a real head scratcher, made no less head scratching by the fact that not long after, guests of the Lake Crescent Lodge started seeing her very, very dead body, but her corporeal dead body walking across the lake at night, glowing with, quote, ethereal light.
So Monty is vindicated here.
I think that's the point of the story, yeah. She's also seen roaming the halls of the lodge, sometimes as her living self, and sometimes as a corpse with missing fingers, toes, and nose. There's something in the soapification thing that's keeping ghosts inside.
Right.
I don't like it.
Mm.
I'm anti.
Yeah.
I'm anti that. If I want to see a ghost.
I'm also anti whatever fun. Little fish just eats the cartilage. That's gross. Come on, well, fish.
Well, listen, I've been very anti-fish the whole time. And if you look back at all our episodes, at least 7 different ones, you'll see that pattern.
Staunchly anti-fish.
Staunchly, always have been, always fucking will be. Anyway, so staff of the lodge have gone on record to share stories of lights flickering, doors banging shut, and music in the bar blaring to life long after the bar is closed. When people see her actual human corporeal form, she is, quote, glowing in the darkness, pale and translucent, and a little bit sudsy.
And not bloated. I mean, this sounds like this is the best thing ever happened to her.
I'm going to look great for eternity. Minus the face thing and the fingers.
Well,
thing,
yeah, all the cartilage stuff. That's fine. But
yeah. Otherwise,
great.
over on Reddit, user Zuzu of the Wolves detailed an encounter with Hallie's ghost. The poster here is a seasonal worker at Olympic National Park, and they live in the park housing during the summers. And I'll just read this part of this post. The building I live in is backed up against an impenetrable coastal rainforest, and some friends and I were sitting in one of the apartment units chatting when we all noticed screaming coming from the woods. Initially, we thought it was a cougar, but it kept going and was decidedly human-sounding. Then Phil said, could still be a cougar.
I'll go check it out. You guys stay here. Don't wait up.
Sometimes it seemed more like sobbing, and in other moments, it was frantic yelling. It went on for about 5 intense minutes, then stopped. Now the truly chilling part. About 30 seconds after the yelling stopped, what sounded like a disembodied woman's voice coming through a radio started muttering right next to where we were sitting. We couldn't make out what she was saying, and it only lasted a few seconds. It was in the room with us, but we couldn't see anything. One of my friends opened the door to make sure there was nobody outside, and we were completely alone.
Oof.
So Hallie is out there, and it doesn't sound like she's very happy. and that is a story of the Lady of Lake Crescent, Hallie Illingworth.
Hmm.
Soapy Hallie, I've decided that she might be called by some people.
Boy, she's going to come for you. She's going to come for
you. I'm not going to Northern Washington. I stop at Seattle. It's as far as I go. Any questions about this one? Your thoughts, concerns?
No, I mean, they need to rename the lake, obviously. But besides that, no.
Falkor Lake.
Yeah, Falkor Lake. I think, yeah, everything got tied up in a neat little bow, really.
Yeah, hogtied in a neat little bundle.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Great.
Well, on that note, Is This a Ghost? Is a production of Smith Show Media. Oh boy, the notes this week were taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes and even the ones that weren't spoken for several long, awkward beats were from Patrick Dean. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our social media team consists of Kai Valonis, Sam Murdoch, and Jennifer Jones. And new merch are hidden. It's in our website all the time by Fox and Quill Studio. Go follow them on Instagram, even though they do live in Kentucky. And go buy some stuff. Go buy some merch from us. Go buy some art from them. It's going to be great. Go do that. And go join Ghost Plus. Go do it. It's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good over there. In the meantime, that's it for us. Don't marry a beer guy. Never a beer guy.
Has never worked out.
No. Not one person has been happy with that decision. And you won't either, because then you will be the subject of the next episode of Is This a Ghost?